If you have your Bibles, turn again to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 is a very, very interesting passage. And as I look at the verse here and thought about John 12, I had to think, how will I be remembered one day? You ever been at a memorial service and you've been there to visit and see the family of someone who's passed on? And in the midst of that service, they always say something about the dearly departed. And I always think at that time, when that's me, what will they say? And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, when we live our lives day by day, we ought to live our lives with the moment of realizing there'll be a time when we're not here, and what we do today determines how we'll be remembered. What you do with your life today, in the next few hours that you have, will determine how people remember you one day. And often, people get to the end of their lives, and they look back, and they say, how did I get here? If you want here to be a special place of loving Jesus Christ, of making a difference in your community, of having been a good Christian mother or father, of having been a testimony for Jesus Christ, it doesn't start just before you pass on. It starts today. And I thought about that in connection with this passage because we're going to find a story about a woman who's remembered today because of what she did when she had the opportunity to do it. How often do we take the opportunity to do what God's given us to do and don't lose that opportunity? Mary at Bethany is remembered for a very special act that she performed for Jesus Christ here in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. We often see Mary, as we see her in the scriptures, adoring Jesus Christ and at the feet of Christ. In fact, there are only 3 times that she's mentioned going through the Gospels. She's mentioned back in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. In Luke 10, 38 through 42, we see a scene similar to the one that was just depicted in John chapter 12. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The first time we encounter Mary of Bethany, she is at the feet of Jesus hearing his teaching. Now, it's a very interesting story, and it can be humorous to think about all that was going on because Jesus showed up in Bethany with 12 disciples, so at least 13 men, plus the family that's there, were there for dinner that night. Martha was not able to go to the freezer, pull out something, and put it in the microwave and get it ready. Martha had to fix a meal for 13 hungry men and her own family. And as the story goes on, she's rushing here and there to prepare those things. And what she prepared, again, it wasn't like a Stover's dinner. We'll warm it up for 15 minutes and put it on the table. She had to prepare everything from scratch. So she's running here and she's running there and she's putting all these things together and maybe having to go out or send someone out to get the ingredients that she needs to fix a meal for all of these men. But Martha wasn't the only woman in the house who knew how to cook. Mary was there, but Mary wasn't cooking. Mary wasn't running here and there. Mary wasn't even worried about dinner. There sat Mary at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. And as Martha got more and more irritated by that story, can you imagine yourself as Martha? Running around in the kitchen, here's the bread going in, you're trying to get the bread ready, you're trying to get the meat ready, there's some kind of sauce that you're trying to get ready, and you're running here and you're running there, and you're getting more aggravated and you're looking around and suddenly you notice who is not in the kitchen. Mary is nowhere to be found. And Martha looks out, and I'm sure she looked out. You know that look, ladies? That look you can give when you wanted something to be done and it's not being done quite right? And so she probably gave Mary that look. And the worst thing about it was Mary ignored that look and kept listening to Jesus teach, sitting at his feet. Until the point where Martha got so upset, she walked over to the Lord. She must have interrupted his teaching and said, Lord, don't you realize what's going on here? Can you imagine asking the Lord if he realized what was going on? Martha was so frustrated. She said, Lord, tell Mary to stop listening to you and come help me. And the Lord looked at her, and what do you think Martha was expecting? Martha was fully expecting the Lord to say, look, Mary, you're not carrying your part of the weight here. Get up and go help. And he looked at Martha and he rebuked Martha. And he said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about too many things. There's only one necessary thing. And Mary's chosen that good thing. She's hearing what I have to say. She's getting the words of life that will change her life. And so there is Mary giving a message to poor Martha who was serving and doing wonderful things. That's the first time we see Mary. The second time we see Mary is in John chapter 11. You remember last week? Mary's brother Lazarus had died. Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus so that he could come and heal him. And yet Jesus tarried. And 4 days after Lazarus had died, he shows up in Bethany. And Martha runs out in Martha fashion. She wasn't waiting for anybody. She ran out to greet him on the road before he ever got there. And said, Lord, if you had only been here, Lazarus would not have died. And after her conversation with the Lord, Martha goes back to the house and quietly tells Mary, the master's approaching and he's calling for you. And Mary gets up quickly and she runs to see Jesus. And when she finds Jesus, what does she do? We look at John chapter 11 and it says, when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So where do we find Mary again in John chapter 11? She's again at the feet of Jesus, worshiping, saying, Lord, I know if you had been here, Lazarus would still be with us. And then Jesus goes along and he raises Lazarus from the dead, which brings us to this next picture in John chapter 12. Sometime, not a long time thereafter, Jesus and his disciples are back in Bethany again. John tells us in John chapter 26, or Matthew tells us in Matthew 26, that he's at the house of Simon the leper. And guess who's serving dinner? Mary. It's not Mary. You look here, what does it say? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave him dinner for him there, and Martha served. Martha had a servant's heart. Now don't mock Martha and don't be too hard on Martha. How many of you want to go home and eat this afternoon? Martha made it happen. Martha was a servant. She was doing things that needed to be done. But where's Mary? Now, I don't know if Mary helped in the kitchen ahead of time, if she just didn't want the grief or learned her lesson, but I know where Mary was at some time during that time. Because we look in verse 2, it says, so they gave dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment, made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. We want to see three things in this story this morning. First of all, what I'd like you to see is the cost of Mary's gift. Mary gave a very sacrificial gift to the Lord. Mary gave a gift that made an impression on those that were there. You look and it says, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment. If we look later into the story, we find Judas complaining because he could have sold that ointment for 300 denarii. About a year's worth of wage for a normal laborer there in Israel. And could have given that money to the poor, supposedly. Now that was not his intent as we read it, but they looked and said this was an expensive gift. In fact, Jesus later will even allude to the idea that Mary had saved this gift for him, for his burial that was coming up. So this wasn't just something simple. And it made me think as I looked at that verse there and as I thought about Mary's gift, how often do we give sacrificially? You know, we give because we know we need to give to the Lord, but how often do we give to that kind of a sacrificial level? Do we ever give until it, as we would say, hurts? You know, if it's leftover, we give. If we have leftover money, we're okay giving it. If we have leftover time, we can go help out with something at the church. But if it's going to infringe upon what I want to do, upon my normal schedule of things, am I willing to do that? Mary had saved this ointment that was worth a year's wage for the Lord and to anoint the Lord with that ointment. Not only was it an expensive gift here that was recorded as being done here at Jesus' feet, but consider the amount that she had. It said it was a pound of ointment. And they tell us that that pound in those days would equate to about half a liter of expensive perfume, normally used just a little bit at a time. And she not only anointed Jesus' feet, but if we look back at Matthew and we look at Mark, she anointed Jesus' head. She was anointing his body for the burial that was about to happen just a week after this event had taken place. And as she did that, she not only spent the money, she not only anointed the Lord, but what did she do? She anointed his feet. Anointing feet and taking care of feet was the job of the servant. People, and the lowest of servants got that job. You remember, as you think back to the time of Palestine, they walked the dirty streets, the dusty roads. And they wore sandals. So when they arrived at someone's home, their feet would naturally be dirty. And it was the job of a servant to take a towel and to take a basin and to wash their feet as part of the honor of them being guests there. And Mary, not a servant, one of the ladies of the house, anoints Jesus' feet with oil and doesn't take a towel, but she lets down her hair and wipes his feet with her hair. The humility that she showed, where did Mary learn that kind of humility? Can I suggest that it was at the feet of Jesus back when she was learning about who he was, about what he would do, about the time that he spent that she spent meditating on what Jesus really meant and where he was going with things? So I thought about that. I thought of a devotional that I read not long ago in Spurgeon's book called The Faith Checkbook. It's called True Heart Energy, and I believe that's what we see in the life of Mary here. It's based on 1 Timothy chapter 4:15, which says, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." I believe Mary was meditating on the things that she learned at the feet of Jesus. That she was meditating on them at the point that she was giving herself wholly over to them when she anointed Jesus' feet, when she wiped his feet with her hair. And it goes on, this devotional, to say, this is practically a promise that by diligent meditation and the giving up of our whole mind to our work for the Lord, we shall make progress which all can see. Not by hasty reading, but by deep meditation we profit by the word of God. Not by doing a great deal of work in a slovenly manner, but by giving our best thought to what we attempt, we shall get real profit. In all labor there is profit, but in fuss and hurry without true heart energy. If we divide ourselves between God and mammon, or Christ and self, we shall make no progress. We must give ourselves wholly to holy things. Or else we shall be poor traders in heavenly business, and in our stock trading no profit will be shown. Am I a Christian? Let me make my service of Jesus my occupation, my life work, my one pursuit. We must be in and in with Jesus, and then out and out for Jesus. Or else we shall make neither progress nor profit, and neither the church nor the world will feel the forceful influence which the Lord would have us exercise. As I read that, I thought of Mary, who gave herself wholly over to her reverence and relationship with Jesus Christ, who wanted to do something sacrificial. And so she was there and she did that and brought that ointment and anointed his feet. And again, it reminded me of David. You remember King David back in 1 Chronicles? Near the end of his reign there in Israel, David decided he wanted to know how powerful he was. His pride welled up inside him, and the Lord had told him not to number the people. And when it talks about numbering the people, it's not talking about a census. You know, you ever had the census takers come to your door or send you the census flyer and you filled it out, and you know, there's four people that live here and here's our income. He was out there counting warriors. He wanted to know how many warriors he could put on the battlefield, how strong and mighty was he. And God said, don't do that. And so after he had done it, God sent the prophet to him and said, David, you have three choices. Because of your great sin before me, you're going to have 3 years of famine, 3 months of devastation at the hands of your enemies, or 3 days of pestilence on the land, where the sword of the Lord and the angel of the Lord will be just destroying throughout the land. And David cried out for forgiveness and said, Lord, we'll take the 3 days of pestilence and we'll trust in your mercy. And so as the story is told, 70,000 men of Israel during that pestilence died because of David's sin. And the angel of the Lord is approaching to Jerusalem to destroy the city. And God looks down and in his mercy, he stays the hand of the angel. And he sends his prophet to David and said, David, You need to go and you need to offer sacrifice in Jerusalem. And so David went to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice. And the highest point of Jerusalem was the mount that's there now where the temple used to stand. And he went to that highest point, and the highest point there belonged to Ornan, the Jebusite. And Ornan came out to David, and David said, I need to offer sacrifice, and I want to do it on that piece of property there. And Ornan said, look, David, I will give you that property. I will give you the oxen to do the sacrifice. You can take the wood around my threshing floor that's up there and use it for the fuel for your sacrifice. And I love David's attitude in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 24 through 27. But David said to Ornan, no, but I will buy them for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David paid Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. And David built there an altar to the Lord and presented burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord. And the Lord answered him with fire from heaven upon the altar of burnt offering. Then the Lord commanded the angel, and he put his sword back into his sheath. And I looked at that and I thought, Martha is busy serving. Mary got the idea of David. I want to give something to the Lord that costs me something. And when David went to sacrifice, you know, you ever get something for nothing? Doesn't everybody want something for nothing? Why do hundreds and thousands of people buy lottery tickets? Because they're going to win $1 million for how much? I don't even know what it costs. $1, $5, whatever they're spending. You got to be in it to win it, and they want something for nothing. And here's David. He's offered something for nothing. In fact, he's offered the piece of property that one day the temple would sit on. And David said, I will not offer to God that which has cost me nothing. Not because I don't want a great deal, but because I want God to see the depths of my love and the depths of my sorrow for my sin. And I want forgiveness for my people. And I want him to see it's a sacrificial gift, not to impress other people, but because I love him. And the question is today, how deeply do we love him? How sacrificially are we willing to give to serve God, Jesus Christ, to make a difference? Are we willing to give of our time to walk across the street and talk to a neighbor? Or is that too much of a sacrifice? Are we willing to reach out to those that we know that are in need, or is that too much of a sacrifice? Where do we draw that line? David and Mary would say, there's no line to be drawn. We serve him every opportunity that we get. It's interesting then to see what happens following this. Here's Mary, who's poured out this expensive ointment, and the scripture tells us that the fragrance of that ointment filled the whole house. So everybody in the place was aware of the fact that Jesus Christ was being honored. Wouldn't you think his disciples would be delighted? Wouldn't you think that what a wonderful thing that Christ is getting this special honor? Well, we look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 8 and 9, and it says that when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. The disciples were indignant. What brought that on? Here's this woman honoring Jesus Christ. What brought that on is found in John chapter 12. Verse 4 says, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? So who gave the idea to the rest of the disciples that made them indignant? Judas Iscariot. Isn't that interesting? The complaint is coming from the least spiritual man in the whole house. But he had an impact on all those disciples. And they all became indignant at the one woman who was worshiping Jesus Christ. Can I say that if you're willing to serve Christ and give sacrificially, there's people who are going to second guess you. They're going to second guess your motive. They're going to second guess the use of your time. They're going to second guess why you'd even do that, or what, was it even worth it? And here we have the disciples all second guessing because Judas, whose motives were terrible, said, we should have given this to the poor. And isn't John wonderful? He doesn't let Judas get away with that. Now, I don't know if he said anything that day. I kind of doubt it. But when he wrote this story, he said, here's Judas saying, why was this not given to the poor? Doesn't it sound spiritual? Give that money to the poor. Don't give it to Jesus. Does that sound spiritual? And besides that, it says he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used the money to help himself to what was put in it. Judas is saying, look, you ought to sell that money because I can't steal it. You poured it out already. And the other disciples didn't get it. And they said, yeah, we should have given that money to the poor. What are we doing honoring the Lord? And he said, wait a minute. What's the problem with this picture? Part of the problem with the picture is Mary was the one who got it. And even the disciples hadn't gotten it yet. They hadn't understood what was going on. And the second thing we want to see then is the gift. Her gift was for the Lord. Look in verse 7. Jesus hears what's going on, and Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me with you. Jesus came to her defense. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing in your life when people attacked you if Jesus Christ came to your defense? Is there any wondering who was right? Jesus Christ said, leave her alone. You know, there's times I wish he would do that in my life when somebody's just going after me and he just look at him and say, leave him alone. I say, yeah, listen to him. We ought to always listen to him. And the disciples are having this problem, and Jesus comes right up and says, leave her alone. In fact, Matthew 26, verse 10, says even further, Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she's done a beautiful thing to me. Jesus said, you've got it all wrong. You need to look at what she did. She worshiped me. She sacrificed for me. She served for me. And you need to keep that in perspective. You know, often Mary was misunderstood. Remember back at that dinner? She's learning at the feet of Jesus, and Martha misunderstood her. You remember back when Lazarus had died and she ran out there and the people followed her because they're thinking, she's going to the grave to mourn, but she's going to worship her Lord. And now as she worshiped Jesus in this wonderful way, the disciples themselves misunderstood. And they tried to chastise her, and Jesus had to come to her defense. Because the gift was for the Lord, it was for his burial, it was very timely. Matthew 26, verse 16 says, in pouring this ointment on my body, she's done it to prepare me for the burial. Mary got it. The disciples hadn't gotten it yet. If we look back at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed on the third day and raised. Did they get it when he told them that? Did it ever sink in? Because days and weeks later, they're trying to talk him out of going to Jerusalem. But Mary got it. She'd been saving this ointment to anoint Jesus Christ for his burial. Matthew chapter 20, verse 18, Jesus tells his disciples, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And again, you have to wonder, why did the disciples not get this? It wasn't until it all happened and they looked back on it that they finally got it, but Mary got it. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, she simply listened and meditated, and her heart and life was changed. Not only that, but it wasn't for his burial, but Jesus said it was a good work. Matthew chapter 26, verse 10. But Jesus, aware of this, said unto them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. It's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing that she's done. It's not something to chastise her over. She's honored me. And I had to ask myself again, how many times do I do things on a day-to-day basis that I can say, I did that for no other purpose than to honor the Lord? One day when I'm sitting there in the coffin and somebody's talking about who I am, would there be any better thing for them to say than this was a man who honored the Lord? If you're going to be that way, a man or woman honoring the Lord, it needs to start today. In the way we use our time, in the way we do what we do, in the way we spend our money, in the way that we go about our daily lives and how we act and react to things. And he said, she's done a good work. And I love Mark chapter 14, verse 8, as he describes it. He said, not only has she done the work, but Jesus said, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body before the burial. She's done what she could. And the indication there is she's done everything she could do. That's sacrificial giving. Are we living our lives to the point where we can say, I have done everything I can do for the Lord? You know, someday when we finish, God's not going to be very impressed by how many shows we watched on television, how many movies we can quote, how many fish we caught, sorry fishermen, how many deer we've slain, how many quilts we've made, whatever it may be, all of those things are good, but are we doing it to serve the Lord when we do those things, or are we doing it for ourselves? And I thought, often we do so many good things in life, but we sacrifice them for the best. What are you going to do this week that you can say, I did that just to honor my Lord? So he would be honored and glorified and lifted up. And the neatest thing about this as we talk about how will you be remembered is found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 13. And we're going to close with this morning. Matthew chapter 26, verse 13. It says, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." When Mary broke that alabaster box and spread that ointment over Jesus, did she have any idea what Jesus was going to do for her? She did that because she loved the Lord. And John tells us that the first thing it did was catch everybody's attention in the house. How do we live and what do we do that ever catches the attention of the people we live with and says, "I love Jesus Christ supremely. He is number one in my life." Mary did something not only that caught the attention of all those in the house, but Jesus said, "Wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." We've just spent the last half an hour talking about Mary of Bethany. Why did we do that? Say, "Oh, the pastor, he just dug that out of the archives of history and came up with a great story." And it's got nothing to do with the pastor. You know what it has to do with? Jesus Christ said that was such a special act that she paid a price for, that every time the gospel goes out and it's preached, wherever it goes, they're going to know about Mary of Bethany because she loved me. It wasn't because of who Mary was. It wasn't because her family was important. It wasn't even because Jesus loved that family, and he did. But it was because Mary sacrificially gave to Jesus and loved her Lord that Jesus said, "Wherever this gospel is proclaimed, this story will be told in memory of her." One day, your life here will be ended. Now the girl sitting up in front of here is saying, "Yeah, right, they have no concept of what that is." Some of you are looking and saying, "You know, that's way off." Others of you are saying, "It should have been yesterday. I want to go to be with the Lord." But what are we going to do today that makes that meeting with the Lord so special? What are you going to do sacrificially to show Jesus Christ, "It's not what people think of me. It's not even what they see. It's what you see. And I want you to see that I love you and love you supremely." Today's the day that you need to start living that way if Christ will be honored and glorified in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story of Mary, and Lord, the fact that you saw fit to preserve this wherever the gospel goes forth. Lord, we pray that you might take this story and drive it home to our hearts. Lord, we need to give sacrificially. Often we give because we love you, but we give out of our abundance, we give out of our leftovers, we give out of our extras. Lord, help us to give in a way that you'll be able to see that we give because we love you. Work in our hearts and minds today, and Lord, help it to make a difference, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.